Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show. Hey there. Ho, ho, ho. Hey. Merry Christmas. This part of the show is brought to you by Panera Bread, the disaster artist. Yes. That's Bryn auditioning for James and Dave Franco.
Bravo,
they immediately Bryn. Said, the line is Ohio.
They didn't immediately say, he said, that's about a seven. And his brother.
Do you have the backup?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to hear the review of your acting. Play it again. Vinny wasn't in here. Play, just play the whole thing.
Yeah.
He throws the water bottle.
By the way, I gotta give Bryn huge props for that interview because all of our equipment was not working and he ran back to the station, he fixed everything, got it all ready to go for the interview.
What would we do without you're so amazing. So the disaster artist, look, it's hard to explain this movie. There's a movie that's it's awful. It's called The Room and it's been out since like 03 or 04. And this is a movie about the making of that horrible movie based on a book that was written by one of the guys who was in the original movie. And it's just one of those like cult classics. All the lines are so funny and it stars James Franco, Dave Franco, Seth Rogen, and it is now playing at AMC Theaters. And we have a pair of run of engagement passes for you and a guest if you're calling number 9 right now. 800-400-3697. Alice would like to treat you to a night out at the movies. Call now, 800-400-3697, and you and a guest can go see The Disaster Artist while it's in theaters. Call now. Get a Panera Bread gift card this holiday season. For every $50 in gift cards purchased, you'll get a $10 bonus card. For more details, visit your local bakery cafe. Eminem.
Yeah.
He just released his revival record. And, oh, there's a little bit of it. Is that the Alicia Keys one?
It isn't.
It is, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't have a title on it, Hooman.
Right.
Oh, my God, Bryn.
We just label things differently. We've talked about that off the air. It's
okay.
Funny.
So Eminem, Marshall Mathers, he just put, I guess back in August, he put his mansion on the market. This is in Rochester Hills, Michigan. Right? Detroit, Michigan? Okay.
It's but this was the one that he's had to discount severely.
Well, he bought it for almost $5 million mm-hmm. in 03. But he apparently never, it's humongous. It sounds absolutely beautiful. It's 5.5 wooded acres, a sports court, pool, entertainment cabana, guard house, 5-car garage, private pond, a guest house with a wild game room. They actually say it's not decorated like a rapper lives there. It's the decor is amazing. And I guess he used it like as a hideaway. And that's it. And they say,
wow, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, oh my God, it's stunning. It's an incredible. It's I don't know, where's the 17,500 square feet.
You don't get that much for 5 million in California, that's for sure.
No, you do not. And what someone paid for it is far less than that. So he's owned it since 03. He paid $4.75 million for it. Went on the market in August for $2 million. So he already knew that he was going to lose his shirt on this.
Take a bath.
And he just accepted an offer for $1.9
million. Oh, my God.
So what you get in Rochester Hills, Michigan for $1.9 million is about 500 times what you get here for $1.9 million.
So
look at that place. It's stunning.
Yeah, it's pretty great. There's a story about LeBron James and the mansion he built in Akron, Ohio, which is another one of those places where no one will ever have the money to buy that from him.
No.
Ever.
Well, nobody with that kind of money would ever buy a house in Akron,
right.
Ohio.
So that's the thing, is as he built this palace, people were like, You'll never get that money back.
Was his plan just to live at it forever and just always have it? Because that's, you know, you want to invest in something you're always going to live in.
He had very much been a Cleveland Cavalier guy, but then he split town. Mm-hmm. He ended up going back, yeah. But rumor is he's going to end up splitting town again to go to LA.
Right.
We'll see, but...
So does he still have this house?
Yeah. How's he going to sell it?
Right.
It's got a statue of him in there, I believe.
This is my statue room. That's me.
So anyway, he just wanted to get rid of it. He said that he and his family spent very little time in this place. It's a 5-bedroom, 10-bath house outside Detroit. For the past decade, he raised his 3 daughters at another home.
He has 3 daughters?
Apparently so.
He never sings about the other two.
You know, I wonder if he blended... No, he can't because I have a dating story about him. Hold on. So anyway, he used this home. I guess this house was built by former Kmart chairman Chuck Conaway. And he used it as an occasional getaway. Like, I can't stand you women. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go over to my other 17,500 square foot house.
All right.
I assume that it costs him a ton of money a month. I mean, I assume someone maintains it. You can't just let your 5 acres go wild. Someone has to mow that lawn and someone has to tend the
beds.
Well,
sure, you have groundskeepers or whatever.
Sure, I'm sure he has a full-on staff of people that have their hand out every... Hey, we did the work. You got to pay us. And he's like, boy, this place is costing me some money. So they say, too, that... he actually scored with $1.9 million.
Why?
It's above what the tax records indicate the property is worth. In 2014, it was assessed at $1.5 million. So, I don't know. Maybe it's because it was M&M.
Dude, I cannot believe you get that much for $1.5 million.
It does make your heart hurt a little.
Mm-hmm.
M&M, I believe he's 45. Mm-hmm. He says that since he and Kim Mathers finalized their divorce in 2001, many years ago, dating's been difficult. It's hard. It's hard out there for Eminem.
I think they were married twice.
Yeah.
He's notorious, so there's, you know, he has to look at anybody's motives. I think that would be the case for just about any celebrity, though.
Mm-hmm.
You, as a celebrity... ultimately have to get over the fact that everyone knows you before you walk into the room.
Right. And has an opinion about you and has perhaps not the best of intentions.
So if you can't just be over it and give someone a fair shake from that, you probably will always you'll never trust anybody, I guess, would be the point.
Well, some of the most grounded people are the ones who kept the people who knew them before they were famous around them. I mean, I think that that's, you know, that can be the key. If you had someone when you got, although sometimes they ditch those people as soon as they get famous, like, yeah, you're out of here. And then they realize everyone just wants to use them. So anyway, he says, it's tough. Since my divorce, I've had a few dates. Nothing's panned out in the way I wanted to make it public. Dating's just not where I'm at lately. When asked how he would meet potential dates, he said, Tinder and Grindr. I also used to go to strip clubs.
So he's never actually used Grindr.
Yeah.
He doesn't
Did
know
he just
what...
name that because that sounded like an app he should say?
He's a jokester, too.
Yeah, right? He's probably being funny, but... Yeah.
Tinder,
but
Grindr. Grindr. He says, what can I say? Going to strip clubs is how I was meeting some chicks. It was an interesting time for me. So that's where Eminem's at.
It looks like... So Haley is his biological daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And the other girl, let's see, he has had custody of Dawn's daughter, Elena. Dawn is Kim's sister.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he has custody of his niece?
Yeah, he had got
custody. And where's the third daughter?
And then the third one is a daughter to Kim from someone else.
Oh.
Wow.
Whitney, Kim's daughter from another relationship.
Boy.
Eminem's the stable one there.
Right.
Eminem is the stable one. Some judge went, all you kids, even the one that's just a niece, not even a blood relation, you're all
going to
go with Eminem. He seems like the one that you should be with. That is crazy. NBC is considering a revival of The Office. I feel like The Office really hasn't even gone away yet. I mean, I know, you know, I know it's off the air. So they're saying it looks like 2018, they're going to try and bring it back. Steve Carell, who played Michael Scott, he will not return for the series, but it would take place at the Scranton, Pennsylvania office of Dunder Mifflin Paper Company. TV Line is reporting that they are searching for a new boss, and the series is, they hope it'll premiere sometime in 2018. Rumors of this revival have been, I guess, around since the summer, but at first NBC was like, no, don't be silly. We're not doing that. And now it looks like it's happening.
Well, people love the show.
They do.
Right?
Ran for 9 seasons. Steve Carell, John Krasinski, Jenna Fisher, Rainn Wilson, who is great in everything he does.
He is?
Mm. He's on Star Trek now.
Oh.
The new Star Trek
one. Oh, which one is he?
He's the guy who did the time loop.
Oh, that's him?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's got a beard and he looks a little different, but it's Rainn.
The captain is so good on that show.
Oh, I know.
He's the best.
They're all great.
What are you two talking about?
Talking about the new Star Trek Discovery. It's only, I think it's on CBS All Access, but I'm sure it'll
get. So it's not on TV?
It's a pay subscription to CBS. So you have to subscribe to All Access in order to get it. But it's coming. I think what they're doing is just getting people to sign up for their All Access, and then they'll bring it to radio. But I was like, I have to see Star Trek, so
you love
signed up for it. Plus, I understand that all the Big Brother extras and Survivor extras are on CBS All Access. I haven't watched any of them yet, but I have All Access to them.
All right.
Anyway, they're saying that they're going to try and bring this thing back. It's all based on the Ricky Gervais original British.
Right.
The Office.
Is that still on or that's...
No, that's...
No, I guess not. No. Not with Ricky Gervais.
Right. Okay. Star Wars.
Oh. Yeah.
You should have seen Hooman just perk up. He put his phone down and
sat working, right up. I'm working on the next big picture because we're going to have another Christmas card on Thursday.
Do we really need another one?
Oh,
I mean,
we
isn't
do.
That one? Didn't we just peak for the holiday
I mean,
season?
How can you ever hope to
year,
top
right?
that?
Well, we got to peak for tomorrow, Vinny.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I'll have the next one ready for 3. I'll work on it for a couple days. Hey, if you go to my Alice 973, or if you go to my personal Instagram, Hooman TV, I posted a picture with me and Kelly Marie Tran.
Who's that?
Oh, darn it. Hold on.
She plays.
Where'd my bell go?
Is that Rose?
She plays Rose Tico. That's right, yeah.
On what?
On the new Star Trek movie.
Star,
Trek. Yeah.
Star Wars movie.
Yeah, Star Wars movie. Sorry.
The Last Jedi. So, listen. I have had the very unpopular position of, I didn't like it that much.
Oh, God.
Very unpopular position. I mean, look, I like it in that it's a Star Wars, I like the Star Wars universe. I there were parts that were very enjoyable. Some of the effects were great, but by and large, I mean, I was super bored midway through it. I felt like there were huge chunks they could have just cut out and taken the movie down by 30 minutes, easy. And I felt like, boy, I'm not hearing that from anyone else. Okay, well, that's just my opinion. Up mine, right? So they're saying here, this is from the AP, with glowing reviews from critics and $450 million of worldwide box office in the first 3 days of release for The Last Jedi, all would seem to be fine in the Star Wars universe, but they're saying audience reaction metrics suggest that not all fans are so thrilled with this. It's got 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, but the website's users give it only 56%. So critics say 89% or 93%, and actual consumers of movies give it a 56% score. And they also say that there's another review aggregate website, Metacritic. The score is 86 out of 100 from critics, but 4.9 out of 10 from users. So I was like, oh my God, thank God I'm not the only one. And they're saying actually that the Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic, you got to take them with a grain of salt because they are supplied by users to the website who can, I guess if you create numerous accounts, vote limitlessly, you need to offer no proof of having actually seen the movie. And they say that it can actually really skew results. They even say that the female-led Ghostbusters, they'd uncovered a whole ploy for people to take a dump on that movie, whether or not it was. And I don't know. I didn't see it because I was like, oh, everybody hates it. And they say they actually.
I didn't see it either.
They actually discovered that it was, there was a campaign against it, which seems wrong. So anyway, you had some thoughts on Star Wars that you told me this morning you'd like to mention if I brought up Star Wars today.
Well, it was just that. I posted a picture with me and the girl on my personal Instagram, Hooman TV.
Hooman TV on Instagram.
I got a chance to meet her at Lucasfilm when they were launching this this initiative they were doing called Little Bits, where kids can build R2-D2s with all the electronics in it, and it's Legos. Oh. And
when
it's,
was this?
This was on my birthday, November 15th.
So did you even know that she was one of the stars of the new movie?
I didn't. I didn't know anything about her.
So you just randomly took a picture with someone who turns out to be a big star in this movie?
I saw the PR people standing around her, and I said, who's this? And they said, oh, she's one of the stars of the new Star Wars film. And I walked over to her, and I said, hey, let's take a picture. I'm going to put it on my Instagram. I go, do you have Instagram? And she goes, I just started. I have 9 pictures. I said, that's great. So we took this picture, and then I see the film, and I'm like, wow, what a charming character she is. She falls in love with John Boyega in the film.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, everyone.
Oh, my God.
But I...
Jesus.
I looked at her Instagram, and there's pictures of... Like, she auditioned 6 times to get this role, and she is so overjoyed to be on the red carpet. There's moments of her like breaking down and crying, standing with Daisy Ridley, standing with Oscar Isaac. Like, she is so grateful to be a part of that universe and in that world. And I mean, you can't look at her Instagram without being happy for her, you know? It was great that they cast her in the
And
film.
What's her name in real life?
Kelly Marie Tran.
All right. Rose in the new movie.
Yeah, if you go to Hooman TV, you'll see the.
Too bad I know everything that happens to her character.
You don't. She's got a... Hers is a pretty interesting arc.
She falls in love with Bob. He just told me.
With Bob, yeah. Georgina Chapman.
Who?
Georgina Chapman. She's the head designer, I think, at Marquesa. And she's
Harvey Weinstein's wife.
Harvey Weinstein's
wife. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to not identify her as just being Harvey Weinstein's wife. I'm sure that she's like, mention my house of design first. So... Because they just celebrated their 10-year anniversary.
Oh. I thought she left him.
They're not divorced, so the 10-year anniversary went by. Their prenup, I guess someone at TMZ got a hold of their prenup, and he's worth about $250 million. And she's worth about $20 million already on her own.
Yeah.
But it looks like because they made it through 10 years... And they break it all down. I mean, there's all these random things. If she stayed for this long, she'd get this. And if she stayed for this long or if this happened, you know, whatever. It looks like it's about $12 million. If they were to divorce right now, it'd be about $12 million. He'd have to pay her $12 million. And there's like a whole spousal support and there's homes that she would get. And
they didn't have any kids.
I don't think they have any kids.
I think he has a kid, but I think his kid's grown. I remember his kid being in one of the stories early on that there was an argument or something outside the kid's house. Do you remember that?
Yeah, like he went to his daughter's house
or
something.
It looks like there's 2 kids, India. She's 7 years old and Dash.
Oh, so these guys do have some kids. Mm-hmm. Okay, but there's an older
kid.
He went to like a daughter's house or something. Anyway, so she'd walk right now. If she went away, she'd get about $12 million. But if she continues to stay in this marriage, it'll be much more lucrative. I guess, you know, after the 10-year mark, there's all these other, you know, benchmarks that she reaches and more money that she gets.
It's time to go underground. What's her name?
Georgina Chapman.
Yeah. Disappear.
Here's a picture of them in happier times. She's an absolutely stunning woman.
I know.
Woman.
She's got that
gorgeous.
At home.
Yeah. It looks like Harvey Weinstein, because he knew that this New York Times, the Rowan, what's the guy's name? Ronan Farrow.
Right.
They were working on stories detailing his sexual misconduct. He went to Netflix and said, I need $25 million. Like, I'll sell you... part of my catalog. I just need a cash infusion. Like he wanted, because I think he knew that once all this became public that his stock would be worth less.
Oh.
That his, who wants to buy the rights to a Weinstein film? Not, certainly not right now, right? So.
Well, I don't know. You know, I was reading about, oh, why can't I ever remember her name? The greatest actress of all time.
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep was talking about.
Is it Meryl Streep?
She was talking about how, you know, a bunch of the movies, people were accusing her of having worked with this guy. Mm-hmm. And in her letter back to Rose McGowan, she was saying, I never worked with that guy.
I have the quotes.
Oh, okay.
So she wrote, it hurt to be attacked by McGowan. I wanted to let her know I did not know about Weinstein's crimes. Blah, blah, blah. She also said, so she appeared in Weinstein-distributed films like The Iron Lady, August Osage County. She says, I wasn't deliberately silent. I didn't know about it. She goes on. I don't know where Harvey lives, nor has he ever been to my home. I've never in my life been invited to his hotel room. I've been to his office once for a meeting with Wes Craven for Music of the Heart. He distributed movies I made with other people.
So that's the point I was trying to make, is a lot of the movies that his name is somehow attached to was only through distribution.
Absolutely.
He was never on the set. He didn't know of
even
the script.
Executive producers are often, their studio funded part of it, or, you know, whatever their little dabbling fingers were doing doesn't necessarily mean that she saw what he was up to. Meryl Streep said, I sent my home number to Rose McGowan. I'm waiting for her call. Mm. So she DM'd her. And then Peter... Oh, I don't have time for this. Maybe I'll try to squeeze it in at the 8 o'clock hour. What's coming up in the news, Vin?
I'll update you on the fire down south real quick. Right. We've got a multi-billion dollar mega measure to clear up the traffic here in the Bay Area.
Mm.
Some more Google searches and more after these.
Alice at 97.3, Sir and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Merry Christmas. It's right around the corner.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Less than a week away.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Oh, my God. It's the most wonderful time of the year. This part of the show is brought to you by HSBC Bank. On Thursday at Cine Arts Santana Row, we're doing a little happy hour. Yuzette and Bryn are hosting from 4 to 6. They'll have movie passes to give out while supplies last, a photo set up with holiday props.
Who rages harder than those two?
Oh, my God.
That's right. No one.
Nobody.
That's really not my definition of raging at all.
Finally. Use the thing without him around to stomp on.
We got you.
Nothing. Just plug in your event, buddy.
That's not my definition of raging at all.
Got me.
You couldn't talk over it.
So they'll be raging from 4 to 6 at Cine Arts Santana Row, 3088 Olson Drive. This is San Jose, and it's this Thursday, and you should head over there. And
I'll be giving away free hugs. Oh. Bryn will kick you in the face if you want.
Sure.
Anytime.
He can do it, too.
Yeah.
Don't joke about it. Unless you really want a kick in the face, don't ask for one.
Pictures, hugs, all that.
All the stuff. Fun. All the good holiday spirit.
Hey, let me ask you a question. As you learned how to kick people in the face, didn't you feel like you really wanted a chance to try it?
Mm. Well, the more, I guess the better I got at it, I didn't have to. And you do that in sparring, you know, so I didn't want to have, like, altercations in the street. That's
the worst thing about getting a great new skill is you just want to put it to use.
Right.
I put it to use in practice. That was fun. It's like a game when you're sparring, you know, in training.
Did you ever kick Dirty Dong in the face?
In sparring, yeah. Not in real life. Not in a fight.
Did you ever knock him down and he, like, was slow to get up? Like, oh, boy.
No, we don't. I mean, no. We have control. We practice control.
Do you?
Did you ever just want to let loose?
Yeah, I mean, I've let loose before, and that was when I was younger and dumber, you know. Or more immature things.
You have let loose.
Yeah.
So you've been standing there looking at someone and thinking, I could just drop back and kick your face right off.
No, absolutely not. Well, yeah, I do think that sometimes. Like,
sure,
yeah, I can reach that, you know. But normally it's like signs or random things hanging off the building.
I think I have stuff on my Instagram of him jumping through and hitting the top of door frames with his feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 That's fun.
It's usually a kind of, you know how it is. can I make that jump?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but that's why that I'm saying you've learned how to kick people in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you need someone to say something to you.
Yeah,
so
I don't
want to
hurt
it.
Anybody.
You sure?
No. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm positive
some deep down party, you must be like, I want to hurt someone.
Well, I want to hurt bad people, maybe. Yes. But you know, I have.
Oh, like a superhero.
I've had tall friends. I'm like, can you stand there real quick? Let me see if I can hit your face real quick. I run back.
Jesus. All right. Anyway, get kicked in the face by Bryn. This is Thursday night, 4 to 6, at Santana Row, the Cine Arts there, and yeah, Uzi and Bryn will be down there. Free hugs and holiday fun for everyone. At HSBC, while they're proud to be named the world's best bank, the real reward is helping their customers achieve their dreams. HSBC awarded the world's best bank in 2017 by Euromoney.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by MyPillow.com. Be sure to click the Radio Listener Special tab to get 2 premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere travel pillows. Use promo code Alice. Ooh. That's MyPillow.com. Here's what's happening. It looks like we've got a little bit of a break in the wind. And, man, the fire crews battling that fire down south are hoping to take advantage of it. They say that right now, with the calming winds, they've reached about 50% containment of a massive wildfire down there. These have been burning for over a week now, right?
Well, over, yeah.
So...
awful.
We obviously went through that up here in the North Bay, and
are they? I know we're hoping to get a little bit of rain.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about their forecast. Oh. Probably not. And ours is going to be a very little bit.
Right.
In fact, what I read was the storm's coming down south, but not out over the ocean, so it won't pick up the moisture that it
could use.
That right. So it won't be the rain we really need.
Right.
Or want. Snow level, though, down to 3,000 feet, which is whatever's there. That's good news.
They'll at least get a dusting.
So this article's everywhere online. You can easily find it probably at SF Gate and even on the Mercury News website. A multi-billion dollar mega measure to fix Bay Area traffic for good is heading our way.
Yeah, right.
Well... it is a weird thing. They're talking here about how they've had groups and studies have been done about traffic congestion in the Bay Area roads. They say it grew 84% between 2010 and 2016.
Jesus, did it really?
How much is this going to cost us?
A mega billions.
Multi-billion dollar. They're going to do, let's see. A proposed $3 toll increase on most Bay bridges is the first step.
Jesus.
To help pay for this.
Vote no.
Well.
Just wait and listen to what's the proposal.
The proposal is, I think one of the things that they've talked about is another bridge.
Yeah.
In between here and the San Mateo.
Yeah. In between the Bay Bridge and San Mateo.
Right.
Bridge.
That's one of the proposals.
Mm-hmm. And they've been talking about that for years.
I know for a long time. So that's one of the things that they... obviously, mass transit is the other solution.
Right.
That's got to be...
but it's got to be convenient to enough people that that will convince them to abandon their cars.
Right. Well, I mean, I would absolutely get on the train in the South Bay and take it in here to the city if it were running early enough so that I could.
Oh, my God. I'm with you. I could actually take the ferry if I could get here at 6:30.
Right.
But I can't do that.
Oh, right. If you could get here at 6:30.
If I could.
Right, that's not going to work out.
I need it to leave at 4.
Anyway, many people out there probably, I don't know if traffic's as heavy right now as it normally would be because we've got different, you know, vacation things happening for people for the holidays.
Week.
But... many people out there, they're spending hours and hours going under 35 miles per hour every day. Yeah. So they're all feeling it. I'm guessing it's going to pass. I think most people will say anything to get relief from this. Mm. Anything to get the roads moving.
$3 more on the bridge.
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
They're already like nickel and diming the... how about the proposal of putting somebody's banner on the Golden Gate Bridge so we can all drive across for free, huh? Where the hell's that?
They don't want that, I guess.
Who's they?
The people who are in charge of that.
Have you noticed more traffic in the morning? Because I sure have, just coming from the peninsula.
It just seems like there's more traffic all the time,
right? Four in the morning.
Used to never be any traffic when we were coming in. That was the beauty of coming in. Now you might actually find yourself in a traffic jam
when
at
4:45. The road for construction on 17, the backup goes for miles. And normally at that hour, there's nobody on the road. Or years ago, I should say.
Yeah.
But now the commute has just begun earlier for everybody.
Well, and we've just, you know, people are forced out, so they have to commute really long distances in. I mean, every morning there's, you know, it used to be totally clear. You'd hear the traffic report and there'd be nothing to report. And now it's just crazy.
They talk about a vast network of toll lanes running all through the Bay Area, north, east, south.
This is where you pay by the mile almost, like it's ticking along. You're...
Well, then why are we having to charge us $3 for the bridge if they're going to charge us just
to pay
drive
for another bridge?
I don't like it. I don't like it.
You never drive in traffic, though. That's why. The people who drive in traffic, the majority of Bay Area workers are probably like, charge me whatever. Just get me out of the gridlock, please.
Right. What'll be a real bummer is if they're charging $3 more and the traffic's even worse. I mean, 84% increase since 2010. That's insane.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Do any of us trust them to fix the roads?
No.
The answer is no. Come on.
I'm counting on GM and Ford, who say in 2019 and I think 2022, they're going to have fleets of self-driving cars. That's what we need.
How's that going to fix everything?
Because it's going to... They'll all relate to each other. Traffic will move smoothly, all at the same speed. Only be those crazy bastards driving their own cars still looking at their phones that'll
Losers.
Be causing problems. Yeah!
On the list of ways to fix this is a second tube or bridge for BART, which would allow 24-hour service, minimizing the impact. They just have a bunch of ideas in place.
Right.
Expanding ferry service. They're going to have to do something. They can't just...
Well, we do have that bay. I mean, it seems like we could really be doing a lot more ferry-wise.
Yeah.
More ferries, faster ferries from more places.
What else?
I don't know, Hooman. I'm not a civil engineer.
Did you ever babysit?
Yeah.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Did you babysit?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
Did you?
Yeah.
No, I never did.
When I was in high school,
sure.
I did.
You
yeah.
did?
Yeah.
Hooman, did you babysit?
Maybe once. And people didn't want to leave their kids with me.
It's weird.
One time I got caught, I had a boy come over.
Oh.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Come over.
I was babysitting for this preacher person.
Preacher.
Oh,
preacher person.
I was like, what was she? She was whatever. She was a preacher. And so I used to babysit for her kid. And then one night I invited this boy to come over. And they came home and we were on the couch, I think, making out.
Oh, no.
Are you sure you were on the couch making out or in the bedroom making out?
On the couch.
Yeah, right.
How old were you?
It's probably like 14.
Huh.
Sarah, if your babysitter was doing that when you were gone, how would you feel?
I'd be pretty bummed.
You would?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
they,
would?
They...
But I have to say I had some I made some terrible decisions as a babysitter and I have no room to talk.
Like what?
Yeah,
like
what
I doing? Just I probably have told you guys this story before.
I don't think you have.
I got I used to babysit all the time for my next door neighbor and one night this boy that I liked and I think another friend of his or maybe two friends. All I know is at the end of the night, I got wasted, and I guess these people had some cocaine in their house.
Oh,
and
my God.
And you found it?
I didn't find it.
Did you smell it all up?
No. I was like, I don't know. I must have been probably 16, 15 or 16, and one of these scumbags that I stupidly invited over had gone through the master bedroom and what were they going to do? Call the police? Oh, my cocaine's been stolen. Mm. It was bad.
Well,
and
usually
I was wasted when they came home. It was just awful. Oh my God, I'm so ashamed of it.
Is that true? So were they gone? Were you alone When the people
yes,
came.
By the time the people came home, I was alone. They had two little kids. I mean, honest to God, it was like the worst. Like, I look back now at having my own kids, like, I would have murdered me. Mm. Like, what an absolute oh my god.
And you did all their coke too.
I didn't do any of their coke.
They probably were like out that night going,
I
can't wait to get home and do a bump.
I didn't know until they told my mom and dad. And my mom and dad already knew because I came home all drunk. They're like, oh my god, what happened? These were like, you know, friends of my parents. Oh my god.
So, oh, it sure, I've told that you live right next door to them.
Oh, I will. Aww. I never babysat for them again.
Yeah,
surprise.
Obviously, yeah.
Yikes.
Oh, what a jerk.
Did you pay them back for the coke?
No.
All right.
You didn't?
Did your parents just give them
I have no idea. I have no idea. It must have been the 80s, right? I don't know.
I was going to say, my thought process as a teen boy, if there was any kind of thing that you're looking for, it's usually nudie magazines. Mm. I never would have thought, like, maybe the adults here have coke.
Well, I don't know that they were looking for
that.
They were probably looking for cash or valuables.
Oh,
or
they were going to rob them?
They were
them?
Scumbags.
Oh, okay.
Like, looking, you know, obviously I've spent a lot of time thinking about this and lamenting sure. what a freaking horrible person I am for having done this. Wow. But I have often thought, like, how did they even, like, who would even do that? And of course they did. They were just, like, scumbag losers. And they went and, like, opened every drawer in their room and... So I let them into the house. Oh, my God. I feel so terrible about it.
Well, what's the babysitting story?
Oh, right. The reason
The
reason I asked. Some cops in New York got a call last Thursday afternoon about a young kid dragging a suitcase down the street.
Oh, okay.
Young kid, 10-year-old.
All right.
With a suitcase.
Like, leave. I'm leaving home.
Well, right. The thought is, this,
I'm
okay,
running
that
away.
Kid's running away. Let's get the police over here to check on him. They say that there was also a 16-year-old there at the time.
Walking with the 10-year-old?
Yeah.
Okay.
The babysitter, the 16-year-old, had used the kid he was watching to help him break into a house. The suitcase was filled with the house full of loot. The babysitter was charged with four felonies, including burglary, grand larceny, and criminal mischief. Should the 10-year-old be in trouble too?
No.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. What's his attitude like?
What? You need to talk to the 10-year-old.
He needs to get
first?
In trouble also.
Like, shouldn't he have known? I mean, he's 10 years old. Shouldn't he have known that was a bad thing that was
Absolutely.
Going down?
Absolutely.
Although the guy might have had a good cover story. Like, oh, yeah, you know, my mom needs me to pick some stuff up. Like, was he in? Did he help break in? Did he actually say, hey, let's take this too? Or was he just like the kid who was being told what to do by a 16-year-old babysitter?
The babysitter was also charged with endangering the welfare of a child, and the 10-year-old was not charged.
Yeah, all right.
Off the hook.
Huh. He must have had a good attitude.
Huh.
Oh, Bryn, I love you so much.
How'd you do that? That was pretty good. Wow.
Just speed it up.
Oh, that's so good.
Just raise the pitch, yeah.
Nice.
It's amazing.
Incredible.
Oh, my God.
Our text number is 800-400-3697. 4 and 5 says, please stop with the Star Wars slips. Some of us haven't seen it yet. And you're ruining it for us.
No.
I'm not listening to your program till after I see it.
Well, then hurry up and go see it. We can't. We love you. We want you to listen.
Please. Well, now I know that. And then they say a couple things. Thanks, Hooman. Spoiler alert.
Don't worry. Nothing he said was a bad spoiler. There are so many things that could. Listen, there are things that are going to spoil this movie for you as you're watching it. You'll be like, oh, well, that's spoiled now. Ugh.
Ugh. If you guys don't stop spoiling movies, I'm going to have to stop listening.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Laura.
It's only been out 1 week.
Yeah, go see it. Hurry up. The rest of the world saw it. $450 million worth.
Let's see here.
Yeah, well.
Sarah, I really like the all-female Ghostbusters.
Yeah, there was
check it out over break.
There was a smear campaign about it.
That's weird.
I know.
I
remember hearing, like, all of a sudden it was universally hated, and I was like, oh, that's too bad because I love everyone that's in it. And then I was like, I guess I don't have to see it. And they say people signed up for fake accounts and figured out a way to get the tomato meter low.
it's weird that people have so much time.
And why would they target a movie like
that? Well, the thing, not only weird that they have so much time, but the things that they will find passion for.
Like, who knew there were Ghostbusters purists out there?
I'll take you down, Ghostbusters.
An all-female Ghostbusters? We can't have that!
There are a lot of people do agree with you about the Star Wars review.
Oh. Oh. Well, that's good. Yeah, I felt like I was really out on my own. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
Oh, I'm out of time. What's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
I'm going to start with an upside-down Camaro.
Fun.
Yeah, and more after these.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny. On Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.